2017. I've been kind of on this for a little while now. We have changed our minds about, that's why you hear class probably before me, you heard some grace. Top class, you heard grace. You're going to hear tomorrow, more grace. And that is because, you know, we read the scriptures and I have to go there now, but Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. Right? And that scripture says, so it is a good thing that your heart, don't be cared about all your other doctrine. It's a good thing that your heart be what? Y'all remember? A heart be what? Y'all remember? A heart be established in grace, right? Establishing it. I mean permanent, fixed, no change. That means I can't change your mind. You're almost getting reborn again. You're almost changing your religion, right? It's almost putting you in the place where it originally was intended for. Getting out of tradition, getting out of what we've been taught, getting out of all this old fogies that we've been taught out of man's wisdom, but getting back on the spirit of God's wisdom. So we've got to change our minds. We've got to change our minds for two reasons. Number one, for your life, your mind needs to be changed so that the grace of God can manifest itself in your life. Now, it's there, but I'm talking about it manifesting. Right, it's the worst thing in the world to be screaming about your bills and you got $1 billion in the bank. Huh? I'll take you outside and whoop you up and down the street for crying about some bills and you got the money in the bank. Crying about what you need and you got everything that you need right there. All you got to do is believe it and receive it. All you got to do is ask. See what I'm saying? But you can't ask for something that you don't know is there. That's why we establish your heart in grace so much. That's why we keep talking about grace. I understand y'all been hearing grace the past month and a half, 2 months. You still don't know it. Me neither. Not we should. I wake up in the morning, I'm like, oh Lord, like, this is too easy. I still do it. I've been reading scripture. My eyes have been opened about all kind of stuff. I mean, my giving is different. My worship is different. All the things that I'm doing, the things that I learned to do as a Christian, right, were not necessarily bad things, but they'll hurt me if I don't do them properly. That's all the things that we learn to do in the Christian. We learn to read the word, we learn to pray, we learn to assemble ourselves in church, right? We learn to tithe, right? We learn to give, we learn all these different things, we learn to worship, we learn the things. All those were good things, but in law, they were all demands. All right? Under grace, they're all privileges. Y'all get the difference? Think about demand, privilege, demand, privilege, demand, privilege, demand, privilege. Think about two words, demand. Demand. I demand some of you, or I give you the privilege to do something. I give you freedom to do this. It's a different thing. So, and it's all about the way that I'm facing it. It's all about the way that I'm looking. I can't even, you know, you could be standing right there, but if you have your back turned, I can't see your face. I can't really see who you are because of how we're standing. But if I move and I position myself, you're still the same person that you were, right? But if I position myself another way and I come around, I look, now I can see your face, and that's all we only got. And now I can see who you are. And I can see you clearly, and I know identity now. Are y'all with that? Because of my position. So it's not that those things were bad. All right? It's nothing wrong with studying the truth. But you have to do this under grace and realize that it's a freedom in doing that. It is no longer a duty. It is no longer a demand, but it's a privilege. It's a supply. Grace gives supply. And so we've got to change that too, for one, for yourself, so that your life can manifest what God wants you to do. And not only just, and it's not just about stuff showing up. Your healing, your body being healthy is a product of your righteousness. Your pockets being full is a product of your already unrighteous. Right, it's not, you know, God told us of there about giving. He said, you know, because, you know, we say, and Grayson said, I'm already healed. I'm already healthy, right? I'm already righteous. I'm made righteous of God through Christ Jesus, right? I'm already blessed. He started talking about giving. He said, you know, he said, when you're giving, he said, all you're doing, he said, harvest, He said, the harvest is a product of what should be. He said, that's not what your faith is at. He said, your faith should be in the giving and in the grace. You see that you're bound in this grace also? He said, all I'm giving you to do is the opportunity to come to your I amness and to see me in you, because God is a giver. So now I'm operating in my God nature by giving. Come on, think about it for a second. So now when I'm giving, I'm becoming more alive to my God nature inside of me. So I'm not giving to it. I'm giving because I love. So now I'm becoming, I am already righteous. I am the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. I am a son of God. I am God's heir. I am a joint heir with Christ. I am that. I do have the ability to be like God. I do have the ability to speak to those things they have to change. God breathed that into me, right? So now when I'm giving, my mind changes that I'm just operating. I'm getting the opportunity to faith and to work out my Godness in me, my God-likeness in me. Are y'all getting it? I'm getting the opportunity to work out, to be like God. You see it? To work in that love, to work in that flow, to work in that thing, to work in my L. I'm already righteous. I'm already blessed. Alright? So I'm not trying to give to get something going. I'm operating. And it's making me change my mind about the process. So now everything changes now. Gratefully, everything clear now. It's no longer a pressure. It's no longer a work. But it's an opportunity. And it's the pride. So now one change for you, not just for the manifestation is gonna come. Snappy and I is gonna swear. I said that before. It's automatic. Ain't no question about it. We don't have to pray in tongues about that at all. Snappy is gonna swear. That's just a effect of the cause, all right? So for manifestation, to change for your life like this, and number two, for who you preach to. So we're in ministry school, huh? Ain't we? And eventually, well, I guess we believe we're going to be preaching somebody one day, huh? Well, we got to be preaching. I don't know about all that. I just want to learn about Jesus. If you got opportunity, you can preach somebody. I don't need to preach somebody. Nobody. But if I got opportunity to deliver a message, you know, I'm easy, because it may not be over the pulpit preaching. That ain't for everybody. But, you know, when you talk to somebody at the store, you know, you're preaching the gospel. All right. And it's great to make that easier, too, because I'm no longer saying, hey, you know, you a sinner. Something wrong with you. You need to be like me. Come to my church. No, grace just says, God loves you. How much more of a better witnessing tool that is? You walk up to somebody, and people know they got issues. We know we got issues, too, huh? People know. And when you walk up and say, hey, God loves you, in the middle of what, I picked up a young man today. Young guy that I was with, so he got off the track a little bit. He was dealing with some things, and went with some things, and doing stuff. And I picked up on the side of the road, and I picked him up, I was bringing him home. I said, let me tell you something. We're in the car. I said, let me tell you something now. I said, you know God loves you, right? I said, you know God still loves you, right? I said, you know what he thought about you when you first got here, the same thing he thinks about you now, right? I know you've been through some things. All of us have, amen. I know you didn't scuff your knees up, and you didn't do some things, right? But God still has the same intention that he has from the beginning. He did not change his mind about you. So now you change your mind. The enemy tricks us and tries to make us think. And I'm going to get this word. I'm glad it's going to work. The enemy tricks us and tries to get us to think otherwise than the fact that God loves us. He tricks us to make us think that we're separated from the Father. Oh, preacher, you in sin that separates you from God. But what can separate me from the love of God? That's what scripture says. But my mind, be established in righteousness. That I think grace, I understand grace, I know righteousness, I am righteous. I know about righteousness and being something, two different things. I am under grace. I am established in grace. And so it changes my mind about my relationship with God. If you think God is mad at you, then clearly you're not going to want to approach. When I was little, and I did something I had no business doing. A couple of times we broke a couple of my mama's lamps. And there was these little special lamps. You only make one set of them. And so you break one, you're not going to get it back, right? And we run around the floor.
But you broke my lamp. So they're not home one day, and we up. I hit that corner, I ain't hit like I was supposed to. My weight got off, and I hit the lamp. Boom, pop. Lamp broke. I'm not trying to go in there and talk to my mom at that moment. Now, listen, y'all, you upset with me? I'm not coming in the room with y'all, because the possibility you're going to strike me. I'm not trying to walk in the house. Because you're mad at me right now. You're ready to whoop me. But I ain't got no belt already to strike you. But if you think that, you're not trying to go into the Holy of Holies. If you think I'm not trying to be in the presence of God, the first thing he's going to do is reprimand me, right? Right? He's going to whoop me. He's going to punish me. No. God is not up there trying to punish you. He'll corrupt you. He's not up there trying to punish you. To the point that my heart be established and righteous. Now, living by the book is just that. It deals with your belief. Living by this book, living by the word of God is not for your message. We prayed our staff this morning. I said, when you're praying in tongues, I said, you need to realize something. You start talking to the Holy Ghost. I said, but you're praying in tongues, they say, you speak and listen. The Holy Ghost will reveal things to you, right? I said, but you're praying in tongues. Don't be sitting there trying to think of a revelation that God gave you out of some scripture, because he might just give you a revelation about what you're doing in everyday life. You see what I'm saying? Because he's not concerned. He doesn't concern that life. He's thinking about across the board, changing your belief about it all. So now, living by the book is dealing with my mindset. It's dealing with how I think. It's dealing with how I function, how I approach life, how I think, what do I expect? Because as I think, what it says? As I think, therefore I am. So as I think, therefore I am. As I think, therefore I am. So whatever faith comes in, so whatever I'm believing, whatever I'm thinking about, that's what I get. So if I don't have enough, it's because I don't believe enough. All right, how big is God? What is it that he can't do? What is it that he can't cover? What financial amount is it that he can't make happen? What thing in your body is it that he can't make go away? What is it? What problem is it in your family that he can't mend up like it wasn't ever there? They ain't got none. It don't exist. But as I think, therefore, I am. Scripture in Romans 10 says, it says, for with the heart man believes. Huh? Unto righteousness. And with the mouth, I think it's verse 10, right? And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. But with the heart, man believeth what? Unto righteousness. Your heart is built to believe unto righteousness. Your heart is built to believe and be established in grace. That's what it's built. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. The word is mine, even in our heart and our mouth, right? Now the brothers of the heart do what? Mouth speaking. So whatever's coming out of their heart, whatever coming out of their mouth comes from their heart. But my heart got to be established in grace. Because if it's not established in grace, then I'll begin to talk the law. I'll begin to speak unbelief. And therefore, I'm getting every negative thing that I did not want to get. So now living by this book changes my belief. It's real simple. It's not a deep lesson. It's not hard. We don't need 25 other scriptures to line up to show you what this is. No. For with the heart man believe, with the mouth confession made salvation. My heart would believe in my heart when I'm reading this word, when I'm going into these scriptures, it's changing my mind about how this thing works. Today, the Lord blew my mind today, something that I didn't know yesterday, I know today, about worship. He blew my mind. And I thought I knew stuff. How many of this is great, you thought you knew something? I thought I knew Jesus, but I thought me and Jesus were tighter than the rest of them, right? I thought I knew that word, boy. I knew this word. I'm going to work this faith and everything. And I realized, they showed up and said, it ain't about your works. And then I realized that I ain't know nothing. I realized that I had to relearn, had to rewire, had to refix my functioning. Living by the book. This is about so now when you're cleansed through the word. You know, Christian? You're cleansed through the word, right? When people say you're cleansed through the word, well, It's not that you are not in a state of being clean already, but you can be clean and be dirty. Come on, get with me. You can be clean and be dirty. All right. I was talking to Pastor Susan now. We were talking about, I said, you know, I'm gonna work out in the mud right now. Under that mud, I'm clean though. Under that mud, my skin is still what it is. It didn't change. But I'm in a pain of dirt at the moment. Huh? So now I gotta wash this dirt off to get back to my state of cleanliness. My first hour of cleansing of the word. It doesn't make you clean like you are unrighteous. He's not talking about this. It's getting this other stuff off of you and getting this cloak off of your mind, cloak off of your eyes, so you can really see your cleanliness in Christ. This is the cleanliness. We already are, but living by this book and studying this word brings me to a mentality of who I am in Christ. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Man believeth unto righteousness. With the heart, man believeth unto, I don't just believe, because a lot of things we can believe, not believe unto righteousness. This is our salvation stuff, ain't it? Verse 9, let me jump to verse 9. Oh, no, verse 8. We're not saying the word is now be in our mouth and in our heart. There's a word of faith which we preach, that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and in the word, believe in thine heart that God raised from the dead, thou shalt be. Yeah, now, you know that wasn't that prayer that you prayed 20 years ago in the altar call room. You know? Yeah, come on, y'all know it. Yeah, you confess my Lord Jesus. We do the altar call. Me and Roger do the altar call. You have to confess my Lord Jesus, believe your heart, and then you're going to be saved, right? It just don't stop there. You can't leave that. You can't leave this. So the scripture don't matter no more. It's now you're born again. So now it's not relevant to your current life. Question? I'm asking. It's not, how many times we left it? We made salvation an event. Boom. Now I'm saved, and now I gotta get deep now. I gotta go find this message. I gotta be deep, and I wanna be a babe with the milk, right? And I gotta get some milk. I gotta go on to the stronger things of the word, right? What gets stronger than that? Y'all know we do. What gets stronger than that? I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in the heart that God will believe in the heart that God raised the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Believe in the heart that God raised the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Believe in thine heart. Heart established in grace. Believe in that heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thou shalt. Shall is one of the strongest words in English dialect. I mean, it is what it is. It shall happen. Thou shall be saved. There's some things that you need to be saved from today. And it's going to come from what you confess with your mouth. What? Look at it. Look at verse 9. Confess with your mouth what? No. Read the scripture. Confess with your mouth what? So you got to confess the Lord Jesus. That means you're confessing, I am within him. You're confessing who Christ is in you. That's what your words should be. If your words are not saying that, then your words ain't saying nothing. If it ain't belief, it's speaking of belief. Like if it ain't grace, it's law, ain't no middle man. If it's not belief, it's unbelief. What are you saying? Confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. What do I mean by confess the Lord Jesus? You just say that I know him? No, I mean I'm connected. That means he's in me. That means we are. I confess my mouth to the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart. What? Look at it. Do you believe God raised Jesus from the dead? Or do you believe it when you pray, or do you believe it on a day-by-day basis? All right, come on. Do you believe it just when you pray the prayer, or is it a constant belief in you, and do you remind yourself? Because we might not pray that prayer again. We prayed already because I'm saved. But what does it mean? Doesn't mean I'm a Christian. We talked about that last time. It doesn't mean I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. For I am C-H-R-I-S-T-M-I-A-T-A-R-T. And I will L-I-V-E-E-P-E-R-N-A-L-Y. All right, listen to me, y'all. I'm going to listen around. So this is not just about the Christian. It's about saved. I'm saved. I am. Say it, I am saved. Say it again. God, get out the mind. Your mind just say, I am a Christian. Now, when you say, I am saved. No. Be that part. I don't want to say that part right now. I want to say, I am saved. What does this mean? I'm saved from what? What I'm saved from? Come on, I'm going to ask you. I'm sorry from condemnation. What does that mean then? I'm sorry from condemnation and shit that's a good one. What am I saying from? Come here. You don't know what you're saying from, and you don't know what you're doing. If you don't know what you're saying from, then what are you saying from? What are you saying from? Come on. Huh? I'm saying from the real. I'm saying from the deed. I'm saying from confusion. What are the things that you're dealing with? Think about the things that you're dealing with that could give you all that trouble. You're saved. Think about that problem that you're dealing with that you can't seem to get over because you feel like you ain't got enough faith for it yet. I am saved. I am at this direct moment saved. Saved for what? Saved from it all. Did it say by that scripture that you wasn't saved from? So I mean, I'm in the state of right now, in this moment, I'm saved. Saved from what? Saved from it all. So whatever it is, it's not a path, it's a cross over the line. Huh? How did you get in? I always think this one is so funny. It's old thing. Dance with the one who brung you. Any of y'all ever heard that saying before? Heard the saying before? Dance with the one who brung you. That means if they brought you to the dance, you better dance with them. Don't be trying to get to the dance. They brought you there. You go in the car with them. You wasn't going to get there unless they brought you there. Now you use it for a ride. No, dance with the one who brung you. Don't get in the dance and forget to lose your mind. Now you're going to dance with the other girl. Huh? Now you forgot who you came with. No. That's the one who brought you. So the same thing that cost you, quote unquote, over the line, right? Cost you what? The same thing is going to keep you. The same one that brought you, the same one is going to keep you. So same scripture that got me across and did the most amazing thing in my life, which changed me from a sinner to a righteous man. That's the most amazing thing we do. It's not, the most amazing thing is not an increase. The most amazing thing is not a supernatural miracle. The most amazing thing is, the biggest miracle is for me to be able to automatically be automatically righteous in right standing with God. And there was nothing I could do for it. So the same thing that brought me, the same thing that got to keep me. So I am saved. I am saved. Saved from what? Saved from everything that's trying to keep me from being saved. So now I'm saved from condemnation and sin. I'm saved from sickness. I'm saved from sickness. Whatever you say. Come on. I'm saved from poverty. I'm saved from fear. I'm saved from disease. I'm saved from the law. I'm saved from all these things. It's important that my heart be established in grace so that I be saved. That I realize that I am saved. That I be saved from all of these things. So now, it has no more dominion over me. So I'm not going to have to fight sin. Where is the fight sin? There ain't in the scripture. It don't say nothing about fight sin. I've got dominion over sin. Because why? I am saved. It's not that I'm trying to live right. I'm right. But it's important that my heart be established in grace in order for me to live in that function. But my heart can't be established unless I live by this book. Now, this is living by that book. When the book starts going down these scriptures, they give you the scriptures about what's going on. It's telling you who you are and how you live. Thank God for live by the book. The book, you know, thank God gives you strategies and gives you some cute little stuff. Right. And you know, remember that we're trying like this. It's cute. That's cool. There's a little creepy technique. Cool. Live by this book. You go over it. So your study time is for you to establish your heart in grace. It ain't for your message. You know your best message is your life. You know, the best message you ever preach is your life. I realize that I don't really do notes well. Just being honest. It don't make me no deeper than nobody else. That's just the way he used me. That's just the way I function, right? I can write a couple of scriptures down, but I can't really do bullets and all that because I'm not gonna get through it no way. And if I go straight down the bullets, I'm probably gonna miss out stuff the Holy Ghost trying to say. So that's just me. I'm not saying that I'm deeper or nothing else. That's just the way that I function, okay? And I don't do it well. What was I talking about before then? I might be trying to stop.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
It might be time to stop. What time is it? Now to the end, the class? I hope when I say yeah.
Think you did thought, baby. What am I talking about?
It's your life.
Thanks, bro.
Thank you, Lord. It's your life. So I preach. I don't preach. I can't do notes. It's hard for me to do. I'm not saying I can't do it. But it's difficult for me to do it. This stuff is coming out of me. Like, this stuff is just I got it on my mind, man. I got it actively on my mind. I didn't get up this morning to start reading the scripture to prepare for y'all class. I'm just prepared. I am prepared. I'm prepared for what? For whatever. And the best message is going to be out of your life. You see what I'm saying? So now when I read the scripture, I have to live by this. And now when I preach it, y'all don't question for 1 second what a prophet be saying when he's preaching on. You can't, because he told me something about release. He said a release of the spirit. He talked about a release of the spirit with the word. So you can get up there and just talk and be dead as a doornail. Just running your mouth and people got some scriptures, but they can read scriptures on their own. But there's a release. If there ever comes a time, for you to minister somewhere, there must be something that your spirit is going to give out of the way that God created you to be, that's going to put on top of that word and going to change something in somebody's life. So there's a release of the spirit. But there can't be no release of the spirit on the word that you deliver if that word is not part of your spirit already. If you're not establishing that already, it cannot mingle. The faith got to be mingled. It got to be mingled together. It got to be mingled on the inside of you. And once it's mingled on the inside of you, it becomes a whole other, ballgame. So now when my delivery comes, it has a release of the spirit of truth behind it. I'm not telling you something that somebody told me, but I'm telling you something I know. I'm telling you something that I believe. You ever heard a preacher that didn't sound like they believe what they were saying? Anybody ever heard that before? I have. I ain't hear much after the first 2 minutes either. You're not convinced? How you gonna tell me something you don't know? You are not confident about what you're talking about. Because it probably ain't going to be. You probably took somebody else's message and tried to preach it because you wanted what they had. So this word in you. I know it's ministry school, but ministry ain't nothing without the minister. Ain't no ministry without the minister. Right? There ain't no minister without you. So I mean, without your titles, without your thing, whatever you think God calls you to be or whatever, without that, this word just got to work in you. In you. That's it. Drop out of us, work in you. Change you. Establish your heart in grace. Establish your heart in righteousness. To the point where you can't think of nothing else. Can you imagine not thinking nothing else? Think about today. Think about today for a second. Think about today today. Think about some of the unbelief thoughts you thought today. Because y'all all this stuff on. Huh? Yeah, I don't need to list them. Well, I was, yeah, 12, 30. I don't need that. Just think about some of the stuff that maybe wouldn't have called me grace. Right? All that tells me is, you're a bad person. No. All that tells me is my heart needs to be more established in grace. Jesus was established in grace. Boy, Jesus told, and John said, he said, show us the Father. He said, how long you been with me? You ain't seen me? He was like, you're looking at the Father. Boy, that's some bold talk. But they said Jesus was full of grace and truth. See, he was the Word. And it was so short, this is why manifestation was there, because he was established in it. There was no question in his mind whether or not his Father was going to hear him. He said, Father, I know that you hear me. He said, I know that you hear me. So I'm not praying, Lord, will you, I don't know if you hear me right now, but if you're listening, hopefully my prayers reach the throne. You used to pray before church, you used to pray the prayers, Lord, forgive me. The preacher used to pray, Lord, forgive me for anything I've done, so I don't want to hinder the service. Lord, forgive me so my prayers can reach heaven. Huh? Lord, forgive me so I can hear from you. Right? But a lot of times you need to hear from him to deal with whatever you're dealing with anyway. It's been backwards. Huh? It's been backwards. It's all been established in the word. So when it's established in grace, now I can think nothing else. I wake up in the morning, it's grace. I woke up this morning and I had something on my mind I had to do. And it was, I didn't sleep much right now. I just think about what I had to do this morning. And I reminded myself. I reminded you the word you. I reminded you. I pick up the Bible. No. That stuff that I knew was in me already, the scriptures come up. Boom, I remind myself. Grace is for supply. There's supply for whatever you got to do today. He
He said, my grace is scripture. My grace is sufficient. And your grace is sufficient. And I'm operating under your grace. I partake of your grace, but it means I'm sufficient. So ain't nothing to come up this week that I can't handle. There's nothing to come up tomorrow, Carlton, that I can't handle. There's nothing, I don't care if I know it or not. God knows it, and his grace is sufficient, not mine. Huh? All I got to do is stay under. Right? Keep away. Be established in it. Understanding who I am in him and who he is in me. And no matter what show up. Ain't no emergency in the spirit. I heard the pastor say that a long time ago. He said, there are no emergencies in the spirit. Ain't none. Somebody call you tomorrow and say, something happened to me. On. They got them on the plug. Well, you, what they say? You going to panic? You going to be fearful? You going to be scared? Ain't no time. That's why your heart must be establishing grace when, right now. Your heart can be establishing grace when it's time to do something. Your heart must be establishing grace right now. So now, when I'm reading, living by the book, and when I'm studying to show myself approved unto God, right? When I'm doing all these things, all I'm doing is lining myself up to what already is. Lord, help me out with worship today. I'm trying not to be talking about too much. Lord, help me. All across the board, Lord, help me out. The audacity to think that you're making anything happen. Who do we think that we are? I say with the years. Who do we think that we are? The audacity is for me to think that when I worship the Lord, it opens up heaven. And when I worship, so I call down the power. Like it wasn't there already. God everywhere, ain't he? Whatever we're doing, whatever we're doing, whatever we're doing, whatever we're doing, whatever we do, whatever we do, whatever we do, are just making ourselves more aware of who God is already. I am that I am. He is that already. I'm worshiping God. I'm going to call down to heaven. We're going to usher in the presence of God in this place. He wasn't here already? Was it here or was it not? You say he wasn't here. Why? Because you didn't feel it? Because your emotions wasn't touched by it? Come on, y'all. I can't find worship leader in the Bible. They say worship, the great worship leader. I can't find it. It's not in the fivefold gift. Apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher. Now, he's 6 or 5. Congregation was to come together and worship, become aware of God. He changed me, so you can sing now. So you can sing now. So you're a good, you're a great worship leader. So that means you don't lead worship at your house. So holding a tone, holding a note, is what makes you better. Y'all get this? My mind has been. I didn't know this yesterday, but I knew it today. I can't. The audacity. There's a thing on the screen. We have a screen with. Made an advertisement for the book we did on the college campus, and it says, the future, and it just jumped it off for me this morning. So walked in the front of the screen, said, the future doesn't happen, it's made. So the statement ain't it. And it says, we are the makers at the bottom. And I said, Pogo said, you can't make nothing. He said, the audacity of you to think you made anything. You can't make nothing. And if there was a future to be made, who got to make it? God? Because we don't know the future. Then the Holy Ghost show us things to come. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and in the future, forever. About us? So we ain't the maker. So now I start thinking like, I'm making myself available to God. I'm making myself aware of who he is. Coming to church Sunday, we're going to sing with the congregation. I don't need nobody to take me in or nothing. I don't want no special floor. I don't want nothing. Don't open up no heaven. Don't. I don't want to do none of that because it's already open. I just need to be aware. Fact, it affects my religion. Because I'm quote unquote a worship leader. It ain't in the Bible. The only worship leader I hear about in the Bible is Lucifer. You go find it, go look at it, and if you find one, come back to the house. I will say, hey, all right, you got me on that scripture. Cool. I'll come back to it on camera. I ain't seen that. Bust my head
to the right of me, you know what I'm saying? It bust my head. It just lit me up. We do all these things thinking that we're doing something. It is all ready. But it is all, what you believing for? Whatever it is you believe for, your heart ain't established and goes in that place. And so that's fine. Establish it. It's already done. Say it. Come on, say it again. It's already done. 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 Come on, I said it and mean it. It's already done. Now, think of that thing that you're trying to, whatever you're looking for a manifestation for, or whatever it is, think about it for a second. Think about it deep. Might be your family, might be somebody get born here. Think, I say it. It's already done. See, you and the family members that you want to get saved, but you think they're not going to make it. Either they're not going to get saved, or you think it's not going to happen. Because you, so now, in the present moment, you worry about it because you're concerned about it. But it's already done. As far as God is concerned, Jesus Christ is saying, how can he be the same yesterday, today, and forever if it hadn't been planned out already? He told Jeremiah, before you were formed in the belly, I knew you. You don't think he knows the course of everything already? It's already set up. Stab your heart of grace. No worry. No more worry. Hey, y'all. No more worry. Can y'all stop worrying? No more worry. No more confusion. No more overthinking it. The best thing you need to know is grace got it covered. I already am. It already is. God's plan is already in flow. Look at the person that you get saved when you thought they should be saved. Might not have been their day. I left the office day. The young guy y'all talking to? I left the office early. And I had to stop and I left the office early. I was supposed to leave later, but I left early. And I'm riding down the street, and the boy came on my mind. And then I saw him. I got scared. I'm going to pull out the road. I thought it was a ghost. I was, oh, Lord. But I turned around. I went and picked him up, and I was able to minister to him. But it was a time for that. It was already set up for that to happen. If I would have left it 4:30, I would have missed it. I would have missed my shot. Stop worrying. It already is. It's already done. You want to remind yourself, establish, permanent, fixed, can't change, nobody changed my mind, it's already done. Whatever it is you're dealing with, it's already done. And then you're going to see the manifestation of it. Bless you. Monday we do have class, medical conference next week. Monday we will have class, regular class, and then Tuesday night, of course, we're going to be in the medical conference. All right? I'm going to make sure that we send an email out to you.